Welcome to this online interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our special guest of honor today is Mr. Ralf Mertens. He's the Marketing and Business Development Manager of Dufil for the area Benelux and France. And it's a pleasure to have you here, Ralf. Very welcome to this interview.
Thank you, Bo. Very nice to be here. And thank you for having this interview with me.
Well, as you know, I live off getting people, convincing people to play a part. So I should thank you, right? Okay. I start always by asking my, let's say, accused or interviewees, asking them to tell our viewers a little bit about their background. How did they end up in the position they're in? So the same for you, Ralf. How come you are not sitting in a bank or working in the diamond district in Antwerp? Why are you where you are?
Well, it's quite easy to explain. I've been with Dufil almost from the start of my career. So I left school. Okay. And when I left school, I went to work for a company, Bosch, that was in Belgium in the automotive industry. Okay. They made the windshield wipers for your cars. They made that automotive part. And after 3 months, my boss said, I have a big problem because I took you on and we don't have a project for you. But I have a solution. We have a packaging and logistics service provider who needs people. And so 3 months later, I started with Dufil. That was in 69. And I'm still there. So I've always been with the same company, but in different roles. I started in the operational side of things, warehouse management, quality, then HENS, so health, environment, and safety. And in the end now, I'm in the role for Benelux and France for the business development and the marketing as a region.
Very interesting. I think many of our viewers around the world who may not be, be knowing anything about Dufil, perhaps you can elaborate a little bit on what you are actually doing. I mean, I see some beautiful seaworthy packed boxes or cases behind you there. And I suppose that's what you do primarily, isn't it? Tell our viewers about that.
Yeah, indeed. What you see behind me is an example of a big one. Of course, we do also a lot of small ones. This is really one of the bigger ones we do in a year. But what do? We are an industrial goods packer and supply chain specialist. So the core business of what we do is the packing of industrial goods to get them around the world in a good way. But of course, if you do the packing of industrial goods, you also need the supply chain around it. You have customers that ask us, oh, can you please also do the warehousing for us? Or can you help us with finding a good forwarder to ship it? So around the industrial packaging, we also do the supply chain, meaning warehousing, receiving, consolidation, shipping, transport to harbors, container stuffing, and so on. And we do that for all kinds of industrial goods, being it small, being it big, all kinds of industries. A lot of industries that we serve are people who own the cargo, who are producing big machinery that goes around the world. Yeah. They are into infrastructure, into energy, into healthcare, and another base of customers that we serve is then the forwarding industry. Because a lot of forwarders have to get it around the world. And the customer says, you just have to make sure it happens. And then in a certain point, they need the packaging. So they need us.
Understand.
That's a bit what we do.
Understand. I think also many of our viewers would like to know, I mean, the packing, simple people would say, oh, it's just cut down some timber, build a box and ship it out. It's not so simple. There are a lot of rules and regulations and conditions you have to adhere to. You cannot just build a wooden box just like that. It has to be treated. It has to be elaborate on some of these, let's say, rules that are in place so that people know that it's not just to do it.
Yeah, indeed, Bo. And that's something we see every day in our facilities around the world. People who see the crate behind me, they think, well, okay, this is like a garden shed, you know, you just need to buy some wood, you need to put it together. Yeah. Everybody can handle a nail gun, so it's okay. But there are some aspects that really need some attention, and that we see that a lot of starting companies, not the bigger one, but mostly the starting companies, they tend to forget.
Yeah.
And it's changing, eh? Because we have 90 sites worldwide. So
wow.
The rule in China is not the rule in US, is not the rule in Europe. But there are some, let's say, top 5-6 things you need to consider. And that's something that's necessary globally, wherever you are.
Yeah.
And the first one is the international regulation that is known under the name ISPM 15. That's something that a lot of starting companies, they tend to forget. If you use wooden packaging and you ship it around the world, it has to comply with that regulation.
Okay, may I just hold you 1 second there? You said ISPN for Nancy or ISPM for mother?
For mother. Okay, ISPM so, for mother, 15.
Okay.
And it's a regulation from the International Panel on Plant Protection Convention.
Okay.
And it bottom line, it states that if you ship wood around the world, you can get some pests inside it.
Okay.
You can get some living material, eggs from some insect in it, and it travels around the world and it will generate pests in another continent.
Right.
And that's why, quite simple, you have to make sure that the wood that you use is free of pests.
Got it. So it has to be treated.
It has to be treated.
And does that mean, is that heat treating or gas, or how is that done?
Well, in general, you have two methods. You have the heat treatment, which is the most common one. You heat your wood for a certain time above a certain temperature, so you kill the pests. Another one is you use metal bromide. That's a gas that you use, but pay attention, metal bromide is not any more possible everywhere. For instance, Europe has prohibited the use of the metal bromide technique.
Okay.
So what we do as a Durfol company, we just use heat treatment everywhere.
All right. That was the ISPM 15, and now our viewers at least can look that up or Google that up, unless they go to your website, of course. What else of key things would you say that must be followed no matter where you are?
Yeah, no matter where you are, the cargo that most industrial players ship, it's valuable. Huh? Mm-hmm. It's valuable because it's valuable at itself, or it's very important for a big project. A small valve can be a huge important piece for, let's say, a mining project or an upstream oil project.
Sure.
So that valuable cargo that has to be protected optimally. And that's what packaging does. Packaging mainly does two things. It makes sure that you can handle something very easily in a port, in a warehouse. So it needs to enable the easy handling of your goods, and it has to protect and conserve your goods. And there again, we see that if people tend to not think on packaging too much, they forget that aspect, and they indeed build a packaging, but a packaging that is not strong enough to withstand, let's say, lifting in the port.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Or that's not conserving the cargo inside, so it is protected against humidity when it's necessary. Yeah. So that kind of things, we call it perfection in protection. You need to protect the things that you want to have arrived at destination in a perfect condition, because then the value is there. Then the customer will pay. Then your project can go on. If you don't do it and your packaging does not protect your cargo, well, then in the end, you'll have issues.
Yeah.
So that's something that we see that happens a lot. Strength of packaging and the protection of the goods inside, that's not that optimal. And the last thing that we also see, we see it not a lot, but we see it more and more, that is that for bigger machinery and for bigger cargo, people tend to forget to secure the cargo inside the pack.
Yeah.
And what you see behind me, if you don't secure it, the first thing it will do when you handle it it's like an eggshell. It will break out of the eggshell.
Exactly.
And that's also something, well, there are international guidelines for that. There's a lot of information that, a professional packer knows how to do it perfectly without damaging the cargo itself. But that's something that we see that also a lot of companies tend to forget from time to time.
Yeah. So they feel that, it looks like it's safe in that crate, and then it's not fastened or, let's say, secured in the crate. So it'll just, the smallest bump up and down or on board the ship, it'll come out of the crate even.
Yeah, indeed, Bo. And a crate looks very good, because a crate mostly, if you see it behind me, that has walls, wooden walls of maybe sometimes up to 5-6 centimeters. So everybody, the gut feeling says, this is good. But inside, there's 20, 40, 60 tons of material.
Yeah.
And that has an immense strength when being on the ocean. Yeah. So people indeed tend to forget. And something, a last detail that we also see that non-professional packers or people who try to do it themselves forget is that for a lot of cargo, you will need direct lashing, which means that the captain on the ship, who is responsible for his ship and for the cargo there and for his men, he will ask that even if it's well packed, that he will demand that he can lash the cargo inside the packaging onto a ship directly, direct lashing, that's called. And if you forget it and you're there at the moment of loading and your cargo is rejected just due to that fact that you haven't foreseen that possibility, well, then your cargo stays in Antwerp or in Hamburg, and it's not on the vessel. So that's also a detail that a lot of people tend to forget.
Mm-hmm.
And direct lashing is something that has to already be thought about in the design process of the machine, because you need a direct lashing point there in your plan.
Got it. So since I am a little bit privy to know you, since I was part of the recently Antwerp XL conference held in your beautiful city, I also saw your great facilities down there. And I'm not saying this for Ralph's benefit or the viewers' benefit. I'm saying it because I mean it. So it was really a great trip there to see what you offer. You mentioned during that meeting to see your facilities, that case you had with some export shipments into the U.S., which were then rejected time and time again because of trying to explain that was quite of a case in point that they simply, for some reason, in particular case in a state in the US, rejected the packaging, wasn't it?
yeah. Packaging is from time to time rejected everywhere, and that's due to what we just mentioned, ISPM 15 rules.
Right.
But because you don't only need to pack it accordingly, you also need to prove it to the customs. And if the customs see that they're not pretty sure that the packaging is ISPM 15 compliant, even when it is, when they have, and indeed we have seen a rise of rejections, mostly in the region US Houston, of cargo entering there, due to the fact that the customs thought something was wrong with cargo, even if it was not. But it's always kind of an interpretation. If you pack accordingly to ISPM 15, but you don't put the proof of that on the wood, meaning on every wooden part that you pack separately, you need a stamp, you need a license for that. And if that license and that stamp is not made clear, then of course customs at the custom entry point, they cannot see it. Yeah. So if they don't see it and there's doubt, they will reject the cargo. And that means, that doesn't mean a fine, like you drive too fast and you get a fine and you drive further on and say, okay, I'll pay the fine. No, an ISPM 15 rejection means that the cargo will go back. Okay. It won't enter the country unless ISPM 15 problem is solved. Okay. And that means you solve the problem there at the point of entry, or you get it back.
Okay, that's a pretty costly affair. I mean, would there be cases where the rejection is deemed as unreasonable? You know what I mean. It's always a matter of interpretation. And sometimes we see in different places, it's easier to say no because you are incapable of actually knowing about it than saying yes and checking it properly. So in fact, it could be unfair for the customer if they've done what they should, but the guy who's checking it at the destination is just not competent. Could that be a case in point two? I mean, how can you argue with these things? Let's say the package goes from your place, it's done according to all the rules, and yet still it's rejected, let's say in Houston, for example. Are you totally at the mercy of the entrance port?
Well, there is some negotiation. Possibility, yeah, but it's small because the time frame is very near. Because it's not that you can say, okay, let's talk about it a few months. Let's go here and back, and meanwhile the cargo will go on to destination. It's really a kind of days, maybe weeks, that you really have to talk through it. If you can provide enough evidence to the customs, they for sure will review their decision. But in most cases, because time is of the essence, it's difficult to really get that decision turned around. And in most cases, we also see when customers turn to us for something that we didn't pack, we also see that mostly customs does have a point. Mm. It's not always 100% valid, but it has a point. For instance, the stamp on that pack was not clearly to be read.
Okay. So
or we saw some signs of pests that we think are pests in a part of the wood. Well, if you see that kind of stuff, it's very difficult to really turn around the decision.
Understand. But it's possible. It's clear. Just to understand a little bit more about the Doeful organization. So you are a global company. You originate in Germany, I believe, at least the DEU. Let's say Deutschland, yep.
Indeed, yes.
So, originate in Germany, but you can pack, you said 90 sites. Does it mean you have 90 sites around the world where you can do seaworthy packing?
Yeah, indeed. Coming back on what we talked about, the ISPM 15, one tip maybe, we developed as Doeful to get rid of all those kind of discussions with customs worldwide, we have a packaging that we call Comply. Yeah. And that's a packaging that is made of a non-wood material. This means that we don't need to comply with ISPM 15. It has the same characteristics as a wooden packaging, but is not subject to ISPM 15. So we don't have any issues with it.
Okay, but it's of course also then probably a slightly more expensive product. I mean, no free lunch in this world, I guess.
No free lunch. The comply material is a little bit more expensive, but customers choose, and if they have a critical project, then they will go for comply.
Comply. Okay, that's actually a very good name, to comply with, and plywood and comply. That's a smart move. Whoever invented that name certainly did a good job.
Indeed, the guy who at Doeful who thought about that name, he did a good job, because we also have a lot of standardized packaging with CON, but the CON stands then for container.
Right.
So we have a lot of industrial packaging that we have tailor-made to perfectly fit in a container, so you don't ship air. Right. And therefore, we have the CON pallets and the CON box. Somebody must have thought, let's stick with the CON and let's make a comply. Mm. And if you think about it, the ply states for plywood.
Of course, no.
It means that it's completely laminated, and that's not a wood, according to the
ISPM. No, you certainly know your business. As I said, I saw it firsthand along with the other delegation members from the Antwerp XL, so I was quite impressed. Now, just turning back again to that 90 sites you mentioned. So if I'm in Shanghai and I want to move that Chinese car back to Sweden, and I want it nicely wrapped because it's a special thing for me, could I ask a Doeful, would you have a site in China where you say, go here, and they do it according to our standards? Or how to reach you around the world if you're sitting in some location and you need something seaworthy packed. Do you have your own, let's say, contract partners around? You don't have 90 Dufol offices, I suppose, right?
We have 90 Dufol sites.
Okay.
Dufol sites, really okay. Dufol sites. And wow. A part of that, we have a lot, I think about 15, 16, Dufol partner locations. So okay. We have to add them. For instance, India, we are not present as a Dufol company, but we have 6 partner locations there.
Okay.
The 90 sites I'm talking about, approximately 90, because sometimes we merge some, sometimes we buy some. Let's say approximately 90, that are Dufol locations, real Dufol locations.
I'm very impressed in this case, because that means you can get the let's say, whatever it's worth, quality that in Europe we claim to have these days, you can get it around the world, so to speak, right?
Well, yes. To be honest, let's say a decade back, those 90 sites were 90 sites, and a lot of them were standalone. Yeah. But something that we as Dufol started with our new CEO, about 5, 6, 7 years back, we tend to harmonize all the sites. We have them use the same packaging design, a homemade Dufol packaging design system, and we have, for the most important stuff, a Dufol design system together with Dufol standardized materials that we use. Okay. So indeed, wherever you need the packaging, you have a big chance that we are in the neighborhood, being it US or being it China or being it Europe. And if you reach out to one of the colleagues, wherever you are, they are aware of the possibilities in the other regions and locations, because we have a global network of business development and salespeople who really know what we can do around the world. And they have the same systems we work with. So if I design a crate for your car in Belgium, and you say, damn, Ralph, I'm mistaking. My car's in Houston. It's not in Sweden. Then I will say, no worries. We have the design. We'll just push a button and the guys in US will make the crate for you.
Okay, that's cool.
The only thing still not that great in my story, because it's a great story of everything is standardized worldwide. There are some differences locally. Chinese packing will be a bit different because China has other rules and other materials.
Sure. No. It's clear what goes as tip top in one place can be not so tip top in another. So that's very clear. No, very impressive to know about your organization. And I take it that you can provide an introduction with all the sites and or video or something that I can add to this interview later on. Right, Ralph?
Yes, I will note that down, bro.
Because that's I'm gonna ask you after we hit the record stop button. But one of the final questions I would like to ask you here, Ralph, would you say nowadays, I mean, your customers, it can be direct shippers, right? It can be freight forwarders. It can also be shipping lines, because now they claim to be freight forwarders too. I mean, the jack of all trade, they say they are. So you welcome anyone. But you are not a forwarder in your own right, are you? You are neutral to anyone who comes to you with cargo, right?
Yeah, indeed, indeed, the shippers and the ship owners, they indeed tend to also vertically integrate a lot of stuff into their business. But we and that's very important for us, because we call ourselves and we are an industrial packer and supply chain specialist, so we can for a lot of our customers who own cargo, produce cargo, we have to, because they ask us, we have to do the whole stretch, also the transport. Yeah. But a lot of our customers are also forwarders. So we do not tend to step into their field.
No.
We are a service provider for the forwarders, and we will always be, in the back row for them. We will be assisting them, we will be servicing them, but we won't be competing with them.
No, that's a very clear statement, because as you know yourself, everything is in a muddle nowadays. We don't know whether, I even saw one ship owner, now they're buying into hospitals, and it's becoming a bit blurry. Seems everyone think they can do everything.
Indeed.
So let's see when the smoke clears how it's really going to be. Final question for you, Ralph. How do you view, let's say, 2023? People say the crisis is coming. There's less cargo to be had. Ship owners are not as arrogant now as they were just a couple of months ago. How do you see from your side? Because if there's nothing to ship, then there's nothing to pack.
Indeed.
Can you see the downward trend already?
Well, what we've seen and what we have seen since COVID started, in our business, we see the activity going up and down. Right. We see a lot of packaging requests, and then we see less packaging requests, and then all our warehouses become full because cargo is coming in and doesn't need to be packed because projects are stopped worldwide.
Ah, right.
And we saw that because we have a worldwide spread. We saw that very good that it differs with COVID. It differed per region, per period. You had regions that went into lockdown, others started producing again. But in the end, somewhere there was always a bottleneck that made it stop. And that's why we see that these years we were a bit on a bumpy road.
Right.
I think if we look at 2022, it was more stable. If you look at 2023, if you look at the customers who are our most important customers who we tend to talk to at least every month, they keep telling us that their order books are full.
Mm.
So they keep telling us that they have stuff, projects that will go on in 2023. Mm. So I think short term, we have to wait and see, but the let's say the cargo owners and the producers are there with projects. So if projects are planned, we hope they can continue.
Of course.
In the long term, and that's where we as Duvel tend to look, in the long term, we see that the trends that started will only increase. And those trends are that we need to reduce the footprint of the packaging. We have bigger companies who ask us to reduce the footprint of the packaging CO2-wise, use of material-wise, cost-wise. So that is an attention point, making our packaging, let's say, or reusable or less strainful for planet resources. That's one trend that we are working hard on because we know it will come. In the early days, people ask us to make a pack that transports well and gets the goods safely at destination.
Mm.
Now they will ask us to make a sustainable package also. So that's a trend that we see and that we will have to take into account, being it a reusable transport frame in steel, better or and less wood, and with let's say recycled PE foil instead of non-recycled, and so on and so on. Intensively with the multinationals, is that they try to ask us to help them, and they try to manage their supply chain better. They want less CO2, they want less transport costs, so they want to reduce their transports, and they want to have data wherever they can get it. Is the cargo packed? How was it packed? Ah, we need a picture. Where is the cargo now? In which sea container did you stuff?
Got it, Ralph. Ralph,
you consolidate cargo? We are developing our hubs.
Understand. I think I just my internet here is a little bit hacked here. You're kind of frozen there, Ralph. Can you hear me again?
Okay. Yeah, I can hear again. You were gone.
I think we got it. You were just frozen there for a minute. I think it's my internet here. I don't know. It's -8 degrees. So maybe that's the reason here in Stockholm. So, but listen, Ralph, I think it's very clear. I think it's very clear. It's sustainable is the buzzword. It's also become a kind of new religion. Everybody wants sustainable, but somehow it feels it's also a little bit overdone sometimes. Let's now see. Let's hope it becomes everything within reason, you know. So,
indeed,
but very impressive, your company overall, a global footprint, so to speak, and a global packaging capability. You know your stuff. So, with that, I would like to say many, many thanks to you, Ralph.
Well, many thanks for having me, Bo, and also many thanks for visiting us in Antwerp and visiting our booth. You know, 2023 Antwerp XL is coming up, and we also have the Breakbulk in Rotterdam.
Yes,
which I think you will be attending.
Definitely.
So don't hesitate and drop by.
No. And of course, I still remember some guy owes me some coasters.
Indeed, and that's what I wanted to mention. The coasters I gave you then, they were not that, what we call picobello. They were not that good. I promise you, I will get you some good ones.
You are a great guy, because nice to put the bottle on the coaster, a really sustainable coaster, so to speak.
And ESPM 15 compliant.
Of course, really. must be. Otherwise, I will not use it.
Indeed.
Okay. Again, yes, thank you, Ralph. And to all our listeners, viewers, and readers from around the world, I apologize for my internet hiccup here at the end for a minute or two. But this was yet another great interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our special guest of honor today has been Mr. Ralph Mertens, the Marketing and Business Development Manager of Dufol for the area Benelux and France, a most capable and, as I also believe to know, a hardworking gentleman. Even he's from Belgium, he's hardworking. So thank you all, and stay tuned for more interviews with Project Cargo Weekly in the near future. Thank you.